Well, amen. What a great job by the kids tonight. A lot of work went into that, from the ones putting it together, all the workers, the pianists, the children being here for several months, getting things ready. Let's give them one more hand. Tell them how great a job they did. Thank you so much. Great job. Seeing them up there tonight reminded me of this little boy that was acting up in a Sunday school class, as many of these I'm sure do at times. And having his rowdy ways and frustrating his teacher. And the teacher looked at him and she said, "Why do you act like that? Don't you know who made you?" And he said, "God did, but he ain't done with me yet." Just like these kids kept saying tonight, he's still working on them. And, you know, as we look here at Ephesians chapter 2, we're really going to look at that thought tonight. So look, get your Bibles out, Ephesians chapter 2. God is at work. I'm thankful that he's working in these children's lives, my children's lives. And he's working in our lives as well. And we're not going to look at the whole text here just for time's sake tonight. We're going to read one verse, and verse 10 here of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we thank you, Lord, just for the program the children presented to us tonight. And I pray, God, tonight that we are just thankful, Lord, for how you work in our lives. And God, Lord, all that you have available for us, Lord, beyond salvation, I pray tonight that as we're in here in your word, that you give us exactly what you have for us. Remind us of some things, God, and some focus that needs to be in our life. We ask this in your name. Amen. As we look here in Ephesians chapter 2, we understand if we were to take time and look at the beginning of this chapter, we see that it mentions of us being in a state of being dead in our trespasses and sin. We understand because of the curse of sin on mankind, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There's nothing we can do to attain heaven on our own. We are sinful people, unworthy of heaven, unworthy of what God has given us. And I love that it mentions us being dead in trespasses and sins and explains everything that goes into that. And then verse 4 says, "But God." God made it possible for us to spend eternity in heaven with him, and he paid a price that we could never pay. And it goes on in that chapter saying that he gave us life, he has quickened us, he has raised us up, he has secured our future. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, and I hope you are as well. As we continue on in the chapter, we look at the two verses before what we read tonight, and it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, we need to understand, and we need to constantly remember that what we have in God, what we have in Jesus through salvation, is not because of anything we've ever done or anything we ever will do. It's because of his grace on you and me. The grace that he showed us and the debt that he paid for us. You know, everything we possess as believers beyond salvation is ours through and by the grace of God. What we've received could not be earned. What we have could not be earned by us in any capacity. And it can not only be earned, but it wasn't deserved. What do we deserve? Eternity in hell. You know, everything that we have in Jesus has been given to us by the free grace of Almighty God. And we see and understand, not only are we saved by his grace, we are changed by his grace. You know, as the grace of God works itself out in our lives, it manifests itself in us through our works. You know, when you're saved, some very real changes happen in your life, and these changes allow you to live for God. Our living for him according to his will brings glory to his name, and that is what he wants from us. You know, the old appetites, the old ways of living, the old desires, all those things after salvation are laid aside, and there's this brand new life in Jesus that's established, and what God works in us by his grace will work its way out in our lives. You know, I love tonight that God not only loves us enough to save us, but he loves us enough to work in us and through us. You know, as we look at this verse tonight, it starts off, first of all, it just says we are his workmanship. You know, the children just presented a program, and we saw on the screens God at work, and they gave this drama that we are under construction. God is at work in them. God is at work in our lives. And Paul begins this verse by saying, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That word workmanship, it means that which is made, a work of art. It actually comes from a word to where we get our word poem. You know, it refers to an author's greatest literary achievement. So as he's saying, we are his workmanship. In other words, he's referring to us as his masterpiece. You know, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's saying that the Christian, the redeemed of God, are the masterpieces of God. You know, I want to remind you tonight that salvation was not all God had planned for us. Salvation is not the end of something. Salvation is the beginning of something. It's the start of something great in an individual's life. And when we stop to think about the raw materials that God has to work with when he saves a sinner and changes lives, it all becomes far more incredible. You know, we look at these kids, and we have some rowdy ones. There are some kids here that I'm sure have caused a lot of trouble and can give their parents a hard time from time to time. And we look at our life, and we understand what we've done, where we've came from, and some of us have different paths than others. But all of us are just raw material that God is shaping and working on to use for his glory. You know, no artist is going to paint a painting and hide it in a closet if they're proud of it. No sculptor looking to form a masterpiece is just going to sculpt something and hide it away in a closet. No writer is going to work their life on something or be inspired to write something and then try to just keep the book closed for nobody to read it. Every creator wants his best work to be seen by many. And God did not just save us to keep us within the walls of the church. He saved us so he could display us to the world. So everyone would know who God is. And he saved us so that through us he might show others what he can do for them. If you're saved tonight, you are a testimony to the world that God saves sinners. So understanding that, we need to let the world see what God has done in you. You know, Michelangelo was once asked what he was doing as he was chipping away at this shapeless rock, and he replied, he said, I'm liberating an angel from this stone. And that's exactly what God has done with us. And he's going to continue to work on us. He's the ultimate sculptor. We are his workmanship. Not just his workmanship, but we are created. That refers to making something out of nothing. It refers to a new thing. And that's exactly what the child of God is. Amen. One moment, as it says there in the beginning of the chapter, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And then another moment, but God, he came. We are alive in Jesus. And we instantly become a child of God. And we are forever changed by the power of God. Something that has never before existed is formed at the instant of salvation. What a miracle. You know, all around this room tonight are living, breathing testimonies to the life-changing power of God. God has made a new thing. As the Bible says, he's made us a new creature. All around this room tonight are examples of the workmanship of God, the masterpiece of God. It's an awesome thing as a Christian to be his creation, to be his masterpiece, and he intends to do something through us. So it says there in verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So not only are we his workmanship, but as his workmanship, good work is expected. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We understand it's laid out for us here in this chapter, but we know that works do not save us, but they are a sure product of salvation. In other words, we understand this thought, and we know his work in us induces his work through us. The good works of our new life in Jesus stand in contrast to the old works of the flesh. You understand that we are truly in Jesus, our walk will be different. If we are saved, if his spirit is living within us, our walk will be different. We look here in verse 2 of this chapter. It says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we used to be different without Christ, but now that we have him living within us, there's been a change. There's a new walk. There's new works coming from the individual after salvation. Now, after you were saved, after a person is saved, the Holy Spirit moves into them and takes up residence. And if he's in an individual's heart, he will let his presence be known in the way you live your life. Look just a couple pages back, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruits of the Spirit. With the Spirit of God living within you, those things should be evident in your life. We're not going to go there for time's sake, but in Matthew chapter 7, we see Jesus referring to this thought of ye shall know them by their fruits. He's using this to call out false prophets and people that were trying to bring division and confusion, but those verses can also apply to any individual. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. You know, I don't know a lot about plants. I planted a magnolia bush in our garden several years ago. It hasn't grown at all. It still blooms every spring. But I don't know much about plants. We have a resident expert, Brother Rich Hayes, here. But if I was going somewhere and I came upon a tree and it had apples on it, I would say, you know what? That's an apple tree. If I was down in Florida and I saw a tree and I saw there were some oranges on it, I could say, you know what? That is an orange tree. When I was a kid in Georgia, we had a plum tree, and I knew what a plum tree was because of the fruit that was on the tree. Do you understand where I'm going? The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. If there's wicked fruit from an individual's life, it's not of the Lord. But if there's the fruits of the Spirit we find or evidence of salvation, by their fruits ye shall know them. If you're saved, good fruit should come from your life. With the unsaved, there's not going to be spiritual fruit coming. We should not be shocked by the things we see in our society and the things we see in our world. We understand without Christ, what other fruit is going to be produced? It's just going to get worse and worse. But God's work in us, as we are his workmanship, should produce a different fruit from the world, giving evidence of the power of God to a needy people. And it's God's desire that every Christian bears fruit to his glory. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that ye walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful of every good work. 2 Peter chapter 1, it's one I look at often in my life, and it speaks of things that should be part of our life, some evidence of God, some things that should be working in our life. And it says, for if these things be in you and abound, if those things are part of your life, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. God expects fruit from our life, and he's given us what we need. He's given us instruction to be fruitful for him. We saw we are his workmanship, and we understand as his workmanship, good work is expected. And then the rest of verse 10 tonight says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are his workmanship. As his workmanship, good work is expected. And then we see there in that last part, it is God's plan that we always walk in good works. It's the plan of God. Very simple. You know, that statement that he says there, it makes a couple of truths abundantly clear. That when he says before ordained, that means prepared beforehand, or you could say pre-prepared. He says he's prepared, he's planned that we walk in good works. Definition we could get from that is to make one's way, to regulate one life, to make full use of opportunities. That is read or that is written in a tense that suggests a once-for-all decision of the Christian, meaning that this is something that we should not be turning on or off. It should just be a finished thing. It should just be established in our life. God has planned for us to walk in Him. So how does God expect us to walk? We can look throughout the Word of God and find all kinds of things to this. One area that every Christian should walk is to walk in love. God has told us, by then shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He also tells us in the Word of God we should have love for those in the world and compassion and show the love of Christ to everyone. Another way we should be walking is in obedience to God. What did Jesus say? If ye love me, what? Keep my commandments. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You know, another way we should walk, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. We should walk faithful to the things of God and to what he's called us to do. Another way we should walk, we can find in the book of 1 Peter where he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We should walk separate in this world. I think it's clear to every one of us tonight that we are not perfect the instant we get saved, but we are changed. And that change should bring about the fruit of good works, leading us to an increasingly godly walk. I love the message the kids kept giving tonight. They understood they aren't perfect. They understood there's a process here and God is working on them. But I understand, even though right now none of us are finished, we have it on good authority that God will finish what he started in our life. In Philippians chapter 1, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to continue to do that each and every day of your life. You know, it's God's will that his people walk in a way that glorifies him. It's his intention for each and every one of us tonight. We're just done in here just a few minutes, but look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage to many of us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A daily thing that we need to continue to surrender. Daily present our lives to him. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As I look at that verse, I always go back to men's conference last October, and Brother Waterloo presented this message so simple, and he spoke of our reasonable service. You know, the things we look at in Ephesians chapter 2 tonight and what we see there in Romans chapter 12, living for God should not be a special thing or a rare thing in a Christian's life. He says it's reasonable. It's what's expected of us. It's what he's planned for us. And living according to the Word of God should be something that is not rare in Lighthouse Baptist Church or in any other Christian's life. It should be something that is expected, understood, and strived for in each and every one of us. It's reasonable. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has made it possible for you and I to know his will. He's made it possible for us to live in a way with his help where we can be in his will, living as he's intended us to live, as he's planned for us to live. And I love that he not only made salvation possible by faith, not only allows us to serve him, but has given us everything we need to be successful in our Christian life. He's given us everything we need to be in his good, acceptable, and perfect will. I love that we don't have to do it on our own. He's begun his work, and he wants to work through us. So the question is tonight, are we being good stewards of that? I have here under the pulpit an insulated bag. An insulated bag, it keeps cold things cold, hot things hot. I think everybody is pretty aware of how this works. There was a man, I'm sure you guys have heard this illustration before. There was this man that was very proud of an insulated bag. It must have just recently been invented. And he was proud of this, and he goes, you know what, this is going to revolutionize my meals at work. And he began to think of all the hot things he could put in there and all the cold things he could put in there, all the possibilities, just a new world here. And he decided to take it to work, and he carried it to work, was very proud of it, and somebody goes, hey, what do you got there? He goes, it's an insulated bag. Keeps hot things hot, cold things cold. And they go, well, that's great. What do you got in there? He goes, I got a hot bowl of soup and a popsicle. It's not really how the creator of that intended that to work, is it? You know, if you're saved, you are the workmanship of God. God has a plan for your life. God has planned that with the strength of his spirit that you walk in good works. As his work, are you living as he intended you to live? Are you living as he's purposed you to live each and every day? Where are you at tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's time for invitation. As we close tonight, there's a couple questions to consider. First of all, we spoke of God's saving grace. Have you been saved? Have you been changed by his grace? If not, the altar's open. People are here that could help you come to a clear understanding of having a relationship with Jesus and putting your faith and trust in him. And secondly, is if you are saved, is your life marked by a change, or is there evidence of it? Is there fruit of it? What fruit is coming from your life? Are you doing everything God has called you to do? Are you grateful to him for the work he's done in your life? It's God's purpose that we walk in good works. Lord, we love you. We thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for, there's a simple truth we find in Ephesians chapter 2, and I pray that you just bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.